I'll hereby call this public hearing on additional appropriations to order.
Just to let the audience know, we are, this is a public hearing, and it's for additional appropriations. And the additional appropriations the council will consider in the council meeting tonight are for LLPCE, our law enforcement budget. And the fund, we're going to ask to increase it $1,000. The Beeson Park, we've made a lot of improvements to it this year. So we're going to ask to the council to approve $20,000. The Goodrich Trust, we have done several improvements at the through the trust. And we also had a park plan that we didn't have a plan for in the budget. We have the money for it, and the increase would be $160,000 for the trust. Ambulance, we've had a lot of changes in our ambulance fund, and we're asking for $325,000 increase to the budget for the ambulance. The employee benefits, we're asking for $800,000 increase to the budget for it. We've paid out a lot, but we've also been reimbursed with our stop losses. So there is sufficient revenue to cover these expenses that we're asking for the increase in. And the wind turbine, we're asking for a $30,000 increase for it as well. And that will be supported through the TIF district and probably backed by property tax out of the TIF. If anyone would like to voice their concerns, now is the time to do it.
The floor is open for public concerns of this public hearing. There being none, I will close the floor. And does council need to take any action tonight?
Yes, we'll have a resolution.
Not later. Hearing.
Yeah, public hearing. We've already had it, but not a public hearing. Sorry.
Okay. So I will entertain a motion to close the public hearing.
Motion to close.
Second.
All in favor of closing the public hearing, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Public hearing closed. But let us then, as public hearing is closed, we will begin right away the city council meeting of December 5th, 2016. If you would stand and face the flag. I'll say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
About a moment of silence, please. Thank you. May I be seated? Roll call.
District 1, Councilor Mo Lennington.
Here.
District 2, Councilor Tom Sells.
Here.
District 3, Councilor Dave Furby.
Here.
District 4, Councilor Lisa Friend. She's absent. At large, Councilor Missy Williams.
Here.
Should have the minutes of the previous meeting. You're so moved.
I would like to say that I sent a draft and I made a few corrections in it, and I'll just note them real quick for you. Under ordinance, the paragraph ordinance number 2016-22, it should have read second reading, not first. And I made some spelling errors as well, and I changed those. Just wanted to let you know. Under the paragraph garbage truck sanitation, the trash receipts do not fund the entire sanitation budget. In previous years, I had put in there just the it previously read that trash receipts do fund it, and I said do not at the meeting. I wanted to make sure that correction was in there. And
so,
the,
I'm sorry, they do or they do not then?
They do. No, they do not. They do not from last year. We were talking about last year.
Oh, okay.
Okay. That's what we were talking about last year's budget. Attorney Cockrell stated the truck will need to be bid because it's over $150,000. I put $100,000, should have been $150,000. I was on a roll when I did these, sorry. Yes. And then, let's see, I think, Mayor Byram stated a retainer will be continued with Augusta, and it was, will not, is what I understand, right? Is that right, Mayor? That's what it said in the minutes, or in the meeting. I wanted to make those, I wanted council to be aware of the changes that I made after that, so, because I made mistakes when I went back. So, there you go. You can either approve or not.
Make a motion to approve the correct minutes.
I'll second that.
It's been motioned and seconded to approve the minutes. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Minutes approved. Approval of agenda. The Community Excellence Award couldn't make it tonight. They'll be moved to next time. That's the only amendment that I have. Any others?
I got a couple. The one on the BC Park. I just want to give the final figures and facts on that, on the renovation out there.
So, hang on. So, probably under unfinished business, BC Park? Okay.
And the other one, I think I just talked to you about, is the one from West Water Street. If you want to discuss that, you just want to work on that.
We can put it on the agenda if you'd like.
I do want to put that on there.
I'm sorry, what was the address?
West Martin Street.
Just say one.
110.
Anything else?
West Martin?
Yes.
Okay. Public concerns.
I mean, do I need a...
If you'd like.
Yeah, I'll take the...
Just state your name and your address, please.
I'm Jeff Renton, 509 East North Street.
Can you come up so we can get you on the recording?
I'm Jeff Renton. I live at 509 East North Street. And for the last 2 years, I've had a problem with the house two doors down from me never being mowed. And this summer, the grass was this tall. Every month when I come in, I say something about it, and nothing's being done. I don't know what else to do. I mean, there's trees growing in it. You can tell it hadn't been mowed because they're so big, all of, you know. And there's trash where they burn in the backyard. And the problem is now there's a second home, the same person from South Carolina buying these properties and rent to own. He just bought one down the street, and the same, and I bet if you look into it, he's not paying trash or sewage. I mean, it's just turning into dumps.
What's the address on that?
439, I'm sorry.
439 East North?
That'd be 509, right?
That's where I live.
Right, that's where you...
But,
Yeah.
439, you said 439 East North.
439.
I mean, it's the worst property I know in the city.
So, can we issue a citation?
Well, it was early this summer, and they would mow the front yard, but the backyard's never been mowed. I know for 2 years.
They've been cited.
If you go down to Cherry Street, which is Mrs. Wick, that little short street, go back to the anchor building there where the cardboard comes in.
When you get, when the police cite someone...
You can see the backyard. It's starting to get matted down, but...
A nuisance violation, you have to give them time, and obviously, apparently, they've complied.
I don't know how they can say that, though. I mean, even now with the cold weather, the grass is over knee-high still. I mean...
Well, maybe since the, when they got a complaint, they went down and they cited them. And they said, hey, you got a complaint here, you got a citation, fix this, or we're going to fine you. And they fixed it. And maybe it's grown back up since then, Jeff, I don't know. According to the clerk treasurer's email, they've been cited, and it's compliant. Or it was compliant at that time.
Right.
So since you're bringing a new complaint up...
Right.
We'll go out there and we'll investigate it.
And you'll, it'll be so obvious, I think, you'll see. But there's no way it could have been compliant because you can tell.
Okay.
Growing...
Well, we'll deal with what we have in front of us.
Right, I understand that.
Right now, okay?
And I appreciate it.
Thank you.
I have the same situation next door, and they don't mow the back because they would have to do it with a nuclear power lawnmower because there's tree limbs and debris in there, so they just go up and stop, so... They did go in there and kind of weed whacked it down, but there's still 10 or 12 feet.
And it's just not me, you know, all my neighbors know, they come to me and like, just take care of it. Well, every month this summer, I've been saying stuff about it. I didn't realize that I had to legally have some, I'm dyslexic, I can't read or write. But I feel like I'm a good businessman. I own over 10 properties in this town, and I'm making nice rentals. But if I had to hire an attorney, well, that's what I'll do from now on. I'm over it.
So did you have money on that property, Tim?
Huh?
So we never received anything on it, never received it.
Well, I talked to Rich about it last month, and he said it kind of fell through the cracks.
Well, unfortunately, Rich is not here tonight.
Yeah, I know.
So
I'm just saying. Anyway. Yeah. I'm not blaming, please don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming anybody. I understand how something like this happened. I just thought, this is my only recourse. I'll come and and I feel like it'll be taken care of. I mean, I'm not judging anybody. I feel like the city's in excellent condition compared to last year. I mean, I'm tickled to death with the city with the park. And I voiced that with them. And then I've gotten charged, so I'm tickled with the city. It's just this one property. And if it wasn't next door to me, I probably wouldn't. But, you know, when you see it three or four times a day, you just like it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah.
Thank you, too.
Anyone else? Public concerns? Okay. Move into Bicentennial Proclamation. I've been asked by the state of Indiana to make this proclamation. I'll read it now. To all whom these presents may come, greetings. Whereas Sunday, December 11, 2016, marks the 200th anniversary of the day President James Madison signed the act admitting Indiana as the 19th state of the Union, and whereas on the occasion of Indiana's 200th birthday, we honor the culmination of the bicentennial year in Indiana, a year of celebrating history, nature, and community, and igniting the future for generations to follow, and whereas we take this opportunity today to recognize the many community leaders and volunteers who played vital roles in creating the legacies of this year that we will long treasure and the stories that will be told for years to come. And whereas 1 year ago, we celebrated the promise of the Bicentennial Year for residents and visitors. Today, we pause to remember the Hoosier values and pride we saw on display and make a promise to continue in the spirit of the Bicentennial and create a brighter future for our children. Now, therefore, I, Sean Byram, Mayor of Winchester, do hereby proclaim December 11, 2016 as Indiana Statehood Day and Bicentennial, and invite all citizens to duly note this occasion. In testimony whereof, I hereto set my hand and cause to be affixed the official seal of office, proclaim that the City of Winchester, Indiana, this 11th, well, actually, today's the 5th day of December 2016, on the 200th anniversary of Indiana Statehood, in the 240th year of independence of the United States of America. Thank you. It's pretty cool, actually, that we are here in these positions on our 200th birthday of the state. With that, Judge Fry and the state of the court.
All right. Thank you, Mayor Byram. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen of the council. So as you can see before you, I submitted just a brief update for what's going on with the courts, sort of what our situation is, in hopes of communicating better with you all, because since you all make the rules and we enforce them, to make sure that everybody is at least close to being on the same page, especially with certain systemic improvements, and then of course things that it's within the council's purview to address, not mine. So first of all, just looking at just one update in the highlights from 2016 section, bottom paragraph on the first page, and towards the top of the second page, we're looking at hoping to be completely off of the Keystone services and no longer having to pay money for services that we can now get through Odyssey for free. That has been accomplished, and so starting through next year, we won't have to pay any of the fees to Keystone, and we still have access to all of the entire court's case history, all the old cases online, and then all of that free of charge. So then I just wanted to address quickly then one other general topic on a better way of helping enforce city ordinance violations that where people either don't show up or they don't pay. As of right now, if it's not a traffic violation, then we just have to sit and wait for them to pay the ticket. The only other option is to then institute a proceeding for information for contempt of court, which basically then that involves the threat of jail time, which also means hiring an attorney to represent them out of the court's budget, which the court does not have much money in the way of hiring public defense counsel. So if there was a way that to sort of get in the middle, a way to catch the people's attentions to say, hey, come in and take care of the ordinance violation before we have to move to the threat of jail time, then that would make my job a lot easier, getting people in, getting the payments taken care of without having to resort to the threat of jail time, since the Randolph County Jail is already close to maximum capacity with people serving time for level D felonies, or sorry, level 6 felonies and misdemeanor cases. So, and then actually, and then a non, and in that same vein, moving towards a more graduated collection system, since and for infractions, the default is if people don't come in, they don't pay, then we suspend their driver's license. Problem is, at this rate, we could end up with half the county of Randolph ending up with a suspended driver's license because they don't show up to court or they don't pay. And so I'd just like a little bit of extra collections guidance on what we can do procedurally to either start collecting from the people who are trying to duck out of their obligations or to get their attention so that way they can get back here in court without me having to issue an arrest warrant against them. So if I have to go to threat of jail time, I will, but I was hoping we could take one step before that and present this issue to the council, which this would be where you would, this would be within your purview to decide on how to best handle that. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge. I think it should be noted as well that this year the city has processed more than 1,700 countywide traffic tickets and other violations for the county. The city performs that service. Okay, any questions?
I got one.
Yes.
It says here that the total as of November 14th is $49,700 that's unresolved. Is that true?
That was from the cases that were tickets that were issued in 2015. Yes, those tickets are a number, those tickets are still totaling up $49,700 for 2015. For tickets issued 2016, we're looking at very similar numbers, hitting almost $48,000 in unpaid traffic infraction and ordinance violation tickets.
So in any cases, do you suspend a driver's license?
In the infraction cases, yes. If they don't show up and pay after a certain period of time, and we suspend their driving privileges, and then it's just until they decide to show back up. But earlier this year, we had somebody come in to resolve a speeding or a ticket that their license had been suspended in 1992. Okay. And they just got around to taking care of it here in 2016, and they're out in Oklahoma, and they found out there was a hold on them from Winchester, Indiana, and finally got it taken care of.
That's a lot of money.
What's her name?
Well, now, I'm glad you brought that up. That $49,000 that's still being owed for those traffic tickets, that doesn't all come back to Winchester.
I understand that. I knew that struggled with.
Yeah, that goes to whatever city or town that likes to take it to the state of Indiana.
Then town can use the money, too.
Well, no, it goes mostly to the state of Indiana.
I guess if we didn't get the money, the thing would be the idea that give a guy a ticket and didn't pay it.
Well, they'll eventually pay if they want the driver's license back.
Yeah.
That's my feeling.
Unfortunately,
the only other thing you do is throw them in jail for not paying their tax bill. I'm not going to ask for that.
Can you really do that?
Well,
yeah, I guess.
They're going to pay their ticket, they're going to drive without a license.
And they'll get caught, and guess what will happen?
And then another
deal. So do you hear a Union City case?
No, Union City has their own city court for the time being.
They get paid.
How many hours a week do you usually have to work?
That I put in about, court here is open about 15 hours a week.
Have you talked to the gal, the judge over here, say, but does she have state problems out there in her tickets?
I haven't talked to her about this issue specifically, but you know, there have been some collections issues from other city and town judges across the state of Indiana. However, from here, I actually feel blessed listening to my colleagues around the state. A lot of them have a hard time getting prosecutors in their courtroom. One in particular even said that, oh, you're city court. Just to give you a heads up, I'm never appearing in your court. I'm not sending a prosecutor down to your court. If they want a trial, then we're not going to bother with it because it's not worth our time. And so that's why I feel very grateful to be in a city like Winchester where the city court is still very much supported. It does serve an important function, and I intend to try to help equip it to do the best it can to carry out the function that it does. And I thank all of you, Mayor Byram, the city treasurer's office, and the prosecutor's office in Randolph County for all of their support in making sure that the city court can function the way that it does.
I hope the local speeders and traffic violators in those cities don't hear about that, or do people like to do vandalism. They'll just run rampant there. Okay. We have carte blanche.
Okay. Thank you, Judge. We do appreciate you. Thank you for your service to our community. Really noted. Thank you. Augusta Consulting, year in review, please.
Those are yours.
Yeah. My bridge are broken. I asked my wife for one for Christmas, but I'm waiting. So Dave's got the right idea. He's got the Marco Island sweatshirt on, so that's where we should all be today. Thanks, Council, for giving us an opportunity to present a year-end summary report to you. We appreciate the opportunity to have worked with the City of Winchester in 2016. The mayor has been gracious. We have completed a lot of projects together. I know that you are not aware, if you're not in City Hall or you're not in the mayor's office or with the mayor's phone, but we are on the phone with him a lot. We are emailing a lot, multiple times a day. We are working on projects for the city and have been since early on this year. So I'm going to go through these projects. I'll start on the first page for you, and we actually had two different contracts that we worked on with the city in 2016. Number one, we worked with Umball & Associates along with Vicki and Jason Simler at Umball, and we completed a comprehensive financial analysis for the city. That was presented in a special presentation of Umball both to the Redevelopment Commission and to yourselves, the council, on May 12th. Go ahead, Mayor.
And I want to interrupt here just to make sure that everyone's understanding that the contract with Augusta Consulting and what we paid them, they then assumed the payments for these projects with Umball and Barnes & Thornburg. Is that correct?
That is correct. With the exception of Umball, there was additional work over and above what we had originally. We were going to do a snapshot summary, and then it was requested that we do a full-blown summary presentation of all of the different, from edit to TIF to rainy day to street lights, motor vehicle highway, everything was done then. So yes, you are correct. We did pay these other organizations out of the funds. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's correct. So Barnes & Thornburg completed a review of the TIF districts and recommendations for the Redevelopment Commission and the mayor. Mr. Pittman presented his full report to the Redevelopment Commission on March 10th. Missy, I think you were at that presentation, so that was a good presentation. So,
was that a joint session? I think it was a joint meeting.
We're all there.
Johnson Holloway worked with various vendors to develop a partnership for a rehabilitation detox center. Mr. Johnson sourced the Volunteers of America, who the city is working with today, to develop an inpatient substance abuse treatment facility in Winchester. Various strategy meetings have taken place, and work is underway to develop a 23-bed mother-child treatment center in Winchester. This is a project I know is dear and near to the mayor's heart. This is a problem not only in Winchester, but throughout the state. The mayor's leadership on this project has gotten statewide attention, and subsequently it is the pilot program for residential treatment centers for mother and child in the state of Indiana. So it's a big deal. And so I don't know whether you as a council are aware of that or not, but the project that the mayor has put in place with this is being looked at not only by the state, but by other cities and towns.
Number four, Johnson Holloway completed a plan to develop a citywide broadband network. Mr. Johnson presented that plan to the city council on February 15th. He secured the interest of a private company who would be willing to install about $4 million in broadband infrastructure. However, they do, it is very expensive to do. This was something that would take a lot of money of the city to match and to put in with that, to get that up and going. There is a plan in place that if efforts need be, could be completed. The companies and the city needs to cooperatively secure commitments from businesses to utilize the service. That would be a key next step in the process. Number five, the five-year park master plan is in its final version. I submitted that to the Parks Department on November 17th. That was a document that I think the Parks Department was in support of. It's a good document. It's a document by which they can use to now apply for grants and look towards projects for the future and help secure funding from additional sources. Various meetings were facilitated with local businesses. We did a lot with local businesses to reach out to them and introduce them to your new mayor in 2016 and also get them comfortable with city government. This is what I call business retention and expansion work. And we had initial meetings not only with USDA, OCRA, AEP, Ohio Valley Gas, Comcast, TOA, OMCO, Omega, Mutual Bank, Silvertown Mint, A-Mark, Old National Bank. I'll quit reading them. There's a whole list of them there. Number seven, we also helped lead negotiations with OMCO regarding the possible acquisition of the former Ross properties in Winchester. That conversation negotiation is still ongoing at this time. We'd like to get those properties repurposed in the future. Rundell-Ernstberger, number eight, reviewed the State Road 27 Gateway landscaping and completed a report on recommendations and action steps. Cecil Penland from Rundell-Ernstberger presented that report to the Redevelopment Commission on February 11th. Augusta assisted the city in drafting a letter to HWC Engineering and the landscaping contractor, instructing them on the next steps on what correction action items to take. Number nine, HWC Engineering surveyed the town and noted the areas for priority street lights. The mayor has that report, is aware of where those priority street light locations were. This is the area where we were made aware of the grant from USDA. We subsequently jumped into action and applied for that grant, securing $89,000 for the city for those street lights. But the grant was awarded, but the required match was not able to be secured. So I notified USDA that the city declined the grant match. Number 10, Augusta identified with Randolph County Auditor two properties in Winchester that were immediately eligible to have the tax certificates transferred to from the commissioners to the city. Missy, I know this is a point that's near and dear to you. We presented these two properties to your council on March 7th after learning that the council desired for the properties to be demolished quickly. Augusta recommended that the council forego waiting on the second round of the blight elimination hardest hit program and go ahead and proceed with demolishing the houses themselves. So that is those were our 10 action items that we completed under our first major contract. The other contract, which Mike Jones is here tonight. I know all of you know Mike Jones. Mike has become a familiar face around the Courthouse Square. He's worked on a lot of different projects. I'm going to, since this is so lengthy and I've already taken up a lot of your time, I'm going to go ahead and skip down to number five here. This is Mike's biggest piece of business, is working on the business retention and expansion. In a city like Winchester or any city in Indiana, it's important to let those businesses that are here and that call Winchester and that call your city home, to let them know that you care about them and you don't want them to leave. You want them to be a priority in your city and that you value them being there. And so Mike has taken steps to reach out to those businesses, introduce them to the mayor on many different occasions. Thank them for being in the city on behalf of the city, and then lastly, ask those businesses, what can we do to help? Are you growing? Are you adding employees? Do you need this? Do you need that? A lot of it's just friendly conversation. It's goodwill conversation. Some of it, there's been some small assistance projects, like I know the mayor cut a curb for Everett's and, you know, put in a handicap ramp. That was a project that was dear and near to Everett's, and they wanted to see that happen. So there's other projects that have happened, but that's been the main crust of what Mike has been working on. Number six, again, met with major manufacturers Ardall, hosted Toa, the Japanese owner of Toa, who provided a lunch here with the mayor and with myself, with the Japanese owner of Toa, came to Winchester, sat down, had a formal lunch meeting. They have then since invited the mayor to their operation in Mooresville. They're excited about Winchester. They're excited about their investment here. They want to continue to grow that. And they've so invited us to come see their other facilities. So we'd like to talk to them about other opportunities within the city.
And Brad, pardon me, they did add that they are full up. The building is full up product in Mooresville. They made a point to mention it.
Yeah, so there is opportunity for them to not only continue to assume what they're doing now, but grow that to capacity. And it's important for the city to continue to foster that relationship and be there for them and answer questions for them. We've met with A-Mark and Silvertown. We have ongoing negotiations now with them about projects. We've worked with Omega, R.D. Norman, Winchester House, and Culey Construction. I don't know if you saw on the mayor's Facebook page last week, but we worked with Ardall in helping them into the DMI building to store product. It's a nice ribbon cutting event there last week. Number eight, we assisted in the procurement, redesign, renovation, reconstruction, and financing of the Winchester House. That is the location for the mother and child addiction facility that we're working on in the city. Working closely with Compass Church, the Methodist Church, and that's going very well. We're very close on that. That'll be a fantastic project for Winchester. Now, we've coordinated meetings with the Board of Zoning Appeals. We've helped the city with a loan application for Volunteers of America for $815,000 to the Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority, which is a low-interest loan, which Volunteers of America would be responsible for paying back. We've had discussions with Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority, which resulted in the city being able to use the deferred taxes on that building. Since there are no taxes being paid on that building now, Volunteers of America is a tax-free organization, and that lack of taxes being paid, we negotiated that being used as the match money for the loan on that project, which was a big, big deal. It prevented the city basically from having to help come up with $64,000. That's what that did. We've had discussions regarding the procurement of a building to establish the Winchester Community and Civic Cultural Center, which is a big deal. We'd like to see the mayor and I met with the Portland Arts Place and discussed what's called Arts in the Park. And so it's a new program where we would like to have more art activities in the public parks in Winchester, and we are working on that currently. We've had several meetings with the REMC and representatives of the cable company to improve the broadband, which we talked about previously. Several meetings with Habitat for Humanity regarding seeking funding for construction of some new homes. We have finalized Winchester's commitment of the previous mayor's McCollin Holdings economic development agreement. We could not find anything in writing for that. So we identified the terms. Shared those terms with McCollin and formally put that into a written document signed by McCollin, committing what they're doing, signed by the city, committing what the city's commitment was. So it was important to get all of those economic development agreements to actually have something in writing. So that is done. 16, ongoing and lengthy and complicated discussions with Mark Ross and Ross International in the legal donation of 14 separate parcels. Which are really just derelict parcel properties in the city right now. We're trying to motivate the Ross family to donate those. We have two businesses in town who have agreed to assume two of the properties now, as is, if we could just get them donated from the Ross family. We have been going to major lengths, even volunteered to drive to Pennsylvania to see these folks, and it's been trying. We're getting closer every day, we believe. But it has been difficult negotiations. but it is negotiations that we want to continue. Number 17, we have met with several state of Indiana elected and appointed officials, along with members of Congress, representatives of various federal agencies, through involvement with the ECI Regional Planning District. 18, in conjunction with number 14 above, we met with representatives of Keller McIntyre in Washington, D.C. I know Pam Price brought to you the federal lobbying opportunity. Pam Price is with the ECI Regional Planning District. We actually met with Keller McIntyre in Washington, D.C., these federal lobbyists, advised them to seek out Pam and to share their services, and subsequently Pam brought that back before your board, which was approved, and which is a good thing. Number 19, we procured and completed a financial analysis of Winchester's TIF districts along with Tom Pittman, and reviewed the city budget and have a good grasp of that with the mayor. The mayor has a good understanding of that now. Coordinated survey of city property on Cable Street to alleviate drainage issues near Omega Enterprises. That's number 20. Met with representatives along with the mayor's significant other, Vanessa Byram, and assisted in the establishment of the Winchester Newton Optimus Club. Number 22, met with representatives from Main Street Fiber Networks to improve internet access in Winchester. That's relating to Johnson Holloway. Accompanied Mayor Byram to Indianapolis, planning to go to Mooresville on Friday. The mayor also took part in the regional Washington, D.C. elected officials fly-in last spring. I also participated in that fly-in. We've had other various meetings and discussion as necessary with other entities. 24, initiated a study in the design and redesign of buildings along the town square on Washington Street. Identified issues relating to the wind turbine and the contract with PSI. I think we helped, we got some attorneys involved in that with Meeks's cooperation early on in the year. We wanted to have meetings with PSI and kind of set the record straight as to what the city believed that they're actually were responsible for. And so that has been done. We think that there's been some significant savings recognized by the city due to our actions and our work on that. Number 26, we reviewed the Park Streetscape plans and engaged Kula Construction to formalize some drawings. Consulted on the 2017 Phaser paving plan regarding Cable Street. Worked with Chief Tucker. We submitted a grant application with the chief to the Indiana Homeland Security to obtain body cameras for his officers. The grant was not awarded, but we were encouraged to resubmit the grant request in 2017, which we would like to do. Now, the chief also has interest in pursuing the federal COPS grant. It's a very difficult grant to obtain, but we have identified and looked into that, and we have completed a grant brief on that for the chief. We've identified and created listings of all the commercial buildings and industrial brownfield sites in Winchester. We had a gentleman outside of town who had requested that information, and that was all compiled and sent to him. Currently working in cooperation with SME Corporation in preparing a $300,000 U.S. EPA brownfield assessment grant for the city. These are brownfield assessment funds to do phase one and two environmental assessments on sites that the city or that may have brownfield contamination, and it may be preventing redevelopment of certain sites. Gas stations are often sites that we can use that money on. There is no grant match on that, so I hope that makes you happy that there is. I won't be coming to you asking for any match money on that grant. So that is 100% if it is funded from the US EPA. We initiated discussions with Meridian Services to establish a substance abuse treatment center to serve the residents of Winchester and East Central Indiana. Those negotiations have now led to, I'm happy to say, Meridian Services is starting a rehab treatment facility in Richmond, Indiana, which specifically was started because of the talks that we had with Meridian Services on that. Winchester residents will be given priority consideration at that facility in Richmond, so we are excited about that. So not only do we have VOA, but we also have Meridian Services now addressing the drug addiction problem. We created a hard copy and electronic summary of all available commercial properties located within the city. It's able to be provided to interested parties. We addressed that one just a minute ago. Written and are responsible to write all option to purchase agreements on behalf of the city. Now, we have done some of that work on behalf of the mayor, and I've shared some of those with Meeks before we have any of those agreements go out. They always get forwarded to Meeks for his eyes to review before they go on. Coordinate all meetings with governmental agencies, both local, state, federal, and all business contacts, educational institutions. We've met with all the businesses that the city has requested us to, and we've been recognized as a state, as the acting LEDO, local economic development official for the mayor and for the city. So it's been our pleasure to serve you during the year. There is a lot of work on here. There's a lot of work to continue. I was once told by a gentleman at Ball State, if you're not managing your growth, you're managing your decline. And I think by the work that the mayor and yourselves have undertaken, you are certainly managing your growth for years to come. So we would like to continue working with you in the future. And we'll be having some continued discussions with the mayor. I'm happy at any time for any one of you to call me, email me, text me, whatever the source, work with you on any of these projects, anything that you would like our expertise on. We would like to be there and be able to provide that for you.
Thank you, Brad.
So that's all I got. I'm sorry I took so long, but there's a lot there to go over.
Appreciate them all. That's good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Good. It's a pleasure. Sure. Better than hearsay.
You know, I got to say something. When you come in here once a month and you don't know what's all going on, there's a lot of between the months, there's a lot of times where the mayor and I are interacting. There's a lot of times when we're on the street, meeting with people, making calls, sending emails, doing things for the city. We hope that that has brought some value to the mayor. We hope that the services that we provide got the mayor up and running faster than he would have gotten up and running. The last thing that we want elected officials to do is to come into office and be here and have to and after 3 years in office have discovered all this stuff, and then on the fourth year actually be enacting it. We can bring some expertise, or we can bring the elected officials up to speed a little faster than they normally would have gotten up to speed. So we hope that's been helpful. So thank you.
I hope that wasn't the age just taken on, is it?
Well, you haven't experienced hot until you've ridden to Indianapolis with Vicki Haney. See how that heater cranks. Thank you, Brad. New business. I do have a copy of a quote for 214 North Meridian Street from Burton Excavating and Trucking. It is for $7,800, which would bring the total of demolition this year with 502 South Meridian Street. The total would be, I think, right, Vicki, $15,100. Here's the bid. If you're ready to take action on it, I'll entertain a motion.
I have a comment on that. First of all, we made a mistake last month. We had two bids in the property at South Meridian Street. One was from Trent Durham, which is ECI Logging. It was $500 cheaper than what we awarded it to. He called me up and asked me why we didn't submit his bid. I said, I thought you submitted it up here.
I never had it.
It wasn't up here. So anyway, that was a mistake.
I didn't know.
So to let Burton do that without him bidding on that property, I don't think that's fair. We need to let him come in. Well, you told me also there's another person bid, didn't you?
The only bid that was submitted to my office was the one that Burton.
I'm talking about on this new property.
On 502 South Meridian.
When did Trent Durham bid on that other property?
I don't know.
I have no idea. I knew he bid on the golf course.
When multiple people ask for bids, and this has happened over the course of this year, from different companies, different organizations, then these companies are giving bids to you. It may help to just have the bids turned in to the clerk's office or to the mayor.
That's what they're supposed to.
If you tell the mayor, hey, I'd like to get a bid for siding on the basement or demolition of this house, then allow me to be the executive and go out and get those bids. And I did earlier in the year for a couple of houses, the houses that we identified. We had a couple bids from Cooley and from Schroyer, if I remember right.
Yes.
So, those were old bids, those were...
Well, don't accept any bids, give them all, tell them to send them into the...
I did.
He did. Trent told me when I told him, he said he brought it up and stuck it through the window there where you do the... And I'm just telling you what he told me.
And I'm just telling you what I told you that I didn't see it, so I don't know, Mo, I'm sorry.
But I did tell him that I would bring it up, so...
I think we need to give him a receipt. I think if that happens from now on, we'll give receipts. When you hand something, you know, just like Junior Burton, he put one through the window, there was nothing on it. There was not, it was in a plain envelope, and one of my staff, they put it in the safe, we didn't know who it was from. So from now on, we'll just get a receipt.
Well, in the past, I've done bid work, and normally with a city, they have a bid, you have to sign it and date it that you turned in a bid. That way you've got a record, that would make sense to have a law.
He probably didn't know that procedure, but I'm just, I just didn't make a spare, we let him get shot at it.
So what do you want to do?
Well, I'll take it until next month, and I'll call him, I'll call him to our next meeting, and I'll tell him, soon as I leave there, I'll say, Trent, if you're on a bid on that, you gotta submit it. To her, not me, or not to anybody.
So you want to table this until... I think it's 19th for me again, so. He can surely get a bid in 2 weeks.
If he don't, then it's his own fault, it's our fault. At least we're there with him.
Sure, I appreciate that very much.
So are you gonna call him?
Yes.
And have him, but will you make sure that he, all the debris taken away? And all the concrete is gonna be crushed, and it can be actually put in the bottom of there, which is what's gonna happen with those steps. And then the basement is filled in towards...
That was his bid exactly, on the south.
I never saw that.
Did he give it to you, Mo?
I did.
You saw his bid?
Yes.
Well, I apologize, because I...
So we're just working on it.
Yeah, okay, table it.
That's all the new business we have, and we'll go into unfinished business, A, Beeson Park, Mo?
Well, this is just a final thing, me and Kirby worked on this forever, since back, but anyway, it's all done, except for the two wood posts in the back, where the building used to, the cart used to be, and Mo, climate control couldn't wrap that. So when we first started this thing, we were talking about maybe $40,000. The actual price on it was $39,196.32. That's everything, that's the siding, the pavings, the new fence, tearing the building down, cutting a tree down.
Marking
the paving.
And it looks great, too.
I agree. And now, he also, I don't know if you're there or not, he's gonna put a photo cell so the lights come on in the evening time, because if you look at that building from my time, the lights on, it's actually beautiful. Nothing. When I play a lot of golf, and when you come up, was it something? That's how beautiful the building, I'm so proud of that building, because I'm like, it makes us look a lot better, so.
It does.
We're all done with it anyway, we should...
Excellent, very good, very, very awesome.
It's awful dark in the nighttime, though, right there in...
Well, he's putting in police cells and all the LED lights, come on, it's supposed to be anyway, so.
Fantastic. I appreciate it, that's in my neighborhood, and my kids go down there to play basketball, and I don't play down there. Anything else?
The golf course, everybody, they really appreciate that new fence there, too.
That's outstanding, they did that on the duck, yeah.
Are you still considering the deck outside?
I was gonna bring that up, but I don't know whether to go now or not, we didn't discuss that, but there's a possibility that we could put a deck on where the cart barn was.
I like that idea, just let me pause and put the brakes on just a minute. We are going to have to put in a tile through the city farm. I would recommend we wait on that deck until after we pay our share of that drainage tile. We don't have a choice. We either pay it, or then they put it in and they charge us, I think it's like...
I don't know how they charge municipal, governmental entities.
We might as well do it.
But I would say the tax, I know if we were a private landowner, we would get paid, the default tax rate, which is 10%. But since we're a public entity, I don't know what you would charge. But, I mean, needless to say, if we had the money in there, I think you could say it.
Yeah, we have the money. And it's good money for us. I mean, it's financing. What is our balance in there, Vic?
Let me make sure.
It's gonna be about 250,000.
About that, yeah.
But that's fine, if growing, because...
You can't do anything right now anyway.
Cement, we're going to put cement...
So, $380.
Frank, since you put that fill dirt in there, that 2 years is set, if it don't settle, put the seat on top, the cement's going to crack.
Jet minus all the dead last year.
Like this vinyl deck stuff, you want it to last for 75 years, but those are expensive.
Yeah, it's well worth it.
$25,000.
And back to that, we haven't transferred any money out this year from the Beeson Farm to pay for the Beeson Park. We expensed that, but we haven't taken that, remember, we're doing an additional appropriation, so that will be out. So right now, there's $292,000 on the Beeson Farm.
Have we got our receipts from this year yet?
Yes.
Okay.
And the public meeting on that is January 16th, 2017, at 11 a.m., up at, be the commissioner's room at the courthouse, so.
Is that your 80 cell, right?
For that tile. It might be, I don't know. Sometimes people show up at public meetings, sometimes people don't. You guys saw it this morning, so. But you are more than encouraged, I would say.
To attend.
To attend.
Anything else on Beeson Park? Okay. 110 West Martin Street? No?
You know me, I'm a crusader against junkyards, and we just got created another junkyard, and I will be one of the responsible people for doing that, because we did let him buy that property. However, when he bought it, off Lusco, for $1,000, dollar, whatever it was, whatever it was, he said he was going to store vehicles out there. I assume he's going to store a couple, two or three, but he's got, 20, 25, something like that.
When they agreed to let him have to buy that, he said there would be nothing sitting outside.
Right. That's true. What he said and what he does, we really don't even do about that. My main thing is that I went to this, because I'm on that APC, went to the zoning board, or zoning book with you, and he's in a C3 district. C3 district, you don't allow him. It says automobile, truck, trailer, farm, display, rental, repair, storage, except salvage. And he does have salvage cars out there. Only they're the ones that's completely tore up. He's going to sell them. He's salvaging them. That's what he's done. So he's legally, I think if we pressed it, he has to be in an M2 to do that. All right? So, but anyway. And then
we can't enforce the zoning ordinance. All we can enforce is our own ordinances. Right now, we went on and on and on about that.
And I talked to Randy at the APC. And he's giving this thing about, he's a lot of storage out there, but I'll argue with him later. But anyway, the other point was, I told Nick earlier, he has to have a license. I can show you 112, what is it, 1125 or whatever it is. Yeah, here it is. It says, junk dealer, the buying, selling, assorting, processing, or storing of any kind of scrap, arms, scrap metal, scrap tin, discard automobile parts. You have to have a license.
But if he's not doing, if he's in an M1 and should have been in something else, there's a complaint that you can, the city council can make, or you can, any individual can make, that there's a complaint form you got to fill out at the area plan. So don't talk to Randy, fill out the complaint form and give it to Randy. Now, as to the 112 deal, we just brought that up today, and then we have to send out and do an ordinance violation. Like we would normally do. But again, we talked about this before, if there's a complaint that you're in an R1 and you should have been in an M3, there's a complaint form. Fill out the complaint. File it with them. And then you can complain that they don't do anything. You can't complain they don't do anything until you fill out the form. Just not talking to them isn't filling it out.
So what would be the end result of that then, Nick? If I go file a complaint...
Well, file a complaint, see what they're going to do.
And then right. You find out that he's... I would say that again.
But we can't prejudge what they're going to do. We have to file a complaint and see what they're... And then if they don't do anything, we can go raise hell with them.
Okay. But then this here is this ordinance of the city of Winchester. He has to get a license. It says the license is required. And the way he gets that is if a complaint gets to come to the city council. We can either approve it or reject it. And as far as I know, you told me he hadn't applied for a license.
I have no idea. I don't take those. So you have to ask Vicki. I doubt anybody's ever applied for a license for the junk dealer license.
We do not have one.
To me, it doesn't matter if they have or not.
It's created.
It's created.
Yeah.
Right away.
We can just say it doesn't matter, but it does matter.
We can. We will definitely try to be done. It needs to be.
And then the third part of that was a fence. Says here, and I think it's 105, he has to have a fence around it. Even if he has a junk car, he has to have a fence around it. You don't need none of that stuff. You got the ordinance here, says he has to do it. I think it's just up to us, and we make him do it, or we just say, welcome to the city of junk cars.
Well, we started one over here too. Where the DX station was.
And you asked him specifically, like you asked him in a meeting, what are you gonna do with that property? Before we voted to sell it to him, and he said he was gonna fix it up, you know, paint that all up, and it was gonna look like a night.
The DX station?
Yes.
I remember what I told you.
And he said. Yeah.
You're right.
But you asked him under what pretenses before he purchased that, and we agreed to sell it to him, what was he going to do with it? He is doing exactly the opposite of what he said.
Ellen.
I have one more thing.
That's complaint.
So, can we cite him for violation of ordinance?
I don't know, we have to send Joe out there to see if, I mean, I don't go out there, and so the police will have to, if they make that determination, the police officer will cite him for the ordinance. I'm not the police officer, I, my idea of an ordinance violation and your idea of an ordinance violation, these guys are trained to tell us what an ordinance violation are, I'm not. I know what I think personally of the court, but.
So we did issue an ordinance violation on 213 West South Street, right?
Actually, I think it was 214.
Okay, yeah, okay, 214. Yeah, whatever it is.
It becomes real dangerous for us here to determine, for me and you and the council to determine what a violation.
But when you have a home, that there's pieces of it flying off in a strong wind that are dangerous to the neighbors or anybody else who's around.
Yeah, I think you got citation too, right?
Absolutely.
And the other one that I've had several people ask me about is on, I think it's East South Street, or East Short Street, I think it's 210, is that it? I'm not sure on that number, but they're saying 210.
The one that sold for $100?
Yeah. And I understand that the city doesn't have possession of it, but it is in violation. It is extremely dangerous. And so can we proceed, has he gone to that one and said, no, it doesn't meet the violation?
Yeah, two meetings ago, I presented both of you with pictures of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's gone there.
And so he's determined it's not in violation?
I don't know. I don't know the status of his site of that one or not. But in the ordinance violation, or in the ordinance book, a nuisance is with an open door. So I'm gonna guess that he has. I don't look.
He did a pretty good job at it, so I.
We have, yeah, he has. We have processed 1,700 ordinance violations or traffic tickets in this courtroom. I don't know every single one of them. I did ask him about the one on West Street today, or West South Street today.
And he has done that one.
Oh yeah, he did it several days ago. But I will say, and then you asked me if there's been a response. I don't know if there's been a response. They would respond to me. Because once we actually cite them, then it's basically out of our hands. It's now in the court system.
Right.
And, you know, any kind of ordinance violation, we can't make them clean up the yard. I think Union City got sued for that one time when they cited somebody for accumulation of rubbish in their yard, and they didn't abate the problem. The owner didn't abate the problem, so the city went in and cleaned it up for them.
And they got in trouble.
And they got sued. So the point is...
Did they lose the suit?
Well, we lost the suit. They would have lost the suit because they had to hire an attorney and do all that other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, so
even if they won, they lost. Right?
Yeah. So I don't know the outcome of it, but the point is that we can't. We can cite, but we cannot make somebody in this seat during a court hearing say, "Throw the book out." I can't do that. You know, the court, just like you're an elected official, the judge is an elected official.
Can I interject for just a second? I mean, I've done probably more of these nuisance violations this year than I've done in the last 5 years combined. I don't want to say the last 12 years combined. You read that live. So there's been a lot going on. But what happens is they write the ticket. The person doesn't do anything. Now, if it's grass, we can go mow the grass. I won't tell those street guys to go in there and clean up the trash because that's somebody else's. I just, we're not going to do that. So if I need a court order before I'm going to tell any of the street guys or any of the park guys to go in there. So it's a, just a huge process is where I'm going. Because I want a court order.
Several neighbors who have to live by.
If somebody's walking on somebody else's property other than mowing the grass, which is different statute, different everything else, I want a court order, right? Because I want the judge to say, that's trash, and you can go take it out. What people get in trouble is they don't get that court order, right? They cite it, and under their ordinance, they say, well, I can cite it and go in. Well, yeah, ordinance says we can cite it and go in, but I've always maintained that you want to go that extra step, so we aren't getting sued. Our insurance isn't going skyrocket, and, you know, everything else. Now, there's... problem is they're trash right next door.
The house is trash.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the problem. I hope that helps. I don't know if that's answering your question or not. I don't, but that's what we've done for...
Well, I think some of it, too, I don't know if you all realize, I buy tax properties, and I bought two city properties. And there's some of these properties I was willing to buy and fix up, and I follow through, but the city doesn't stay on these people when you sell them the property.
Right.
And so y'all need to be more careful about when you do sell a property, they have to follow through and do, you know, put it in the writing or what. Because I see all these properties, and they get so bad where I don't want them because they're going to be too expensive to fix up by the time, you know, they come out again. So the city needs a better job of checking out who's buying them and dreaming that they're going to become landlords.
We need an agreement going in. That's the law to fix it up.
When we went to the IAC thing,
yeah.
I don't know what they said. The attorney said that she's attorney for Cornwall. She said, according, if you go to court and get an order like that, we can go in there, we can do that, and then the property, have to pay the property owner. That's all sad.
Well, yeah. we get those orders.
That's exactly what we do.
I've discussed this for
a little bit. I thought you just said you couldn't do it.
They are lying to you.
I can't. As a mayor, I can't do that.
But they pay for it. Those property owners pay for it. They are lying to you.
I can enforce. My job is to enforce. To execute the laws that you write and pass.
We add those fees to the tax rolls, and then it sells for $100.
Yep.
So when that car will say, oh, and we make them pay for it, that's BS.
Nope.
Yeah, you add it to their taxes. We do it, too.
Don't get anything.
But guess what? So when they tell you, all right, we make them pay for it, BS.
Yep.
I can't say how strongly I will do that. I've done it for 12 years.
Yep.
We've added it and added it and added it. We get them back in the tax, and we have to write them off.
We write it off.
You see it again.
You know, you go through the process, you pay filing fees, you put in release fees, you do everything that you're supposed to do, and then we have to turn around and write it off. No, Carmel's not getting those fees. They may say they are, and they're going through what the law says they can do. They're not getting paid for it.
I would just pay him like he said that Yangtze got sued because he...
Yeah, I remember that.
They did.
But makes 13 years.
Let's move on. Internal controls, clerk.
Yes. Well, we have finally the internal control policy for the city, which will be added on, taken off. There'll be a lot of changes sometimes to it. But right now, this is a start. So I would ask that the council consider doing a couple readings. We do need to have this adopted by the end of the year. We have pretty much all the employees, elected officials, have complied to the first step, which is watching the wonderful video, and I'm saying that sarcastically, the 28-minute video, and we've all signed off on that. And that's where we're at, and I would ask you to consider both of those ordinances tonight and the policy procedure.
Don't have much choice.
Right.
We can thank whoever stole a bunch of money from, I can think of three or four different situations for the new internal control ordinances.
Thank you.
I make a motion.
I usually think they count.
First reading on these ordinances? Okay.
Yes. I do them separately, Missy.
Okay.
2016-23.
Okay. Make a motion that we have a first reading on ordinance number 2016-23.
Title only.
And title only.
I'll second that.
It's been motioned and seconded to have 2016-23 read by title only, first reading. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Ordinance number 2016-23, an ordinance of the City of Winchester, Indiana, adopting uniform internal control standards for Indiana political subdivisions.
Motion to approve.
Second.
It's been motioned and seconded to approve. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
The second one, take a motion, we read in title only, ordinance number 2016-24.
Second.
It's been motioned and seconded to have ordinance number 2016-24 read as first reading by title only. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Ordinance number 2016-24, ordinance of the City of Winchester, Indiana, regarding policy of materiality and process for reporting material items.
Motion to approve.
Second.
And motion and seconded to approve. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
We got two more readings of these. You want to do it next? You can do it, or you can do it now.
You can't do all of them. Can't do all of them. Can't suspend.
That's why. I mean, we could use the second one.
Well, let's just wait. You can do it. Let's just wait. Peace will be here.
That's what I'm saying. Can we
do
the second
one? Well, there's no reason to do the second one if you're not going to do them all, right?
Okay.
Because then you just box yourself in. Yeah. So you might as well.
That's fine.
If you're not going to do them all, just do one. That's what I've always
said. Okay.
I've never understood why you do two and then not
all right.
Because next meeting, nobody comes up, you just do second, third, you're done. Now, you want to adopt the internal control policies
yeah.
and procedures. So that's just a motion to adopt those policies.
Okay, we're going to go back up to unfinished business. I skipped sanitation.
Hold on.
Oh, one more.
You want to adopt the internal control policies. Mm-hmm. Just a motion to do that.
Make a motion that we adopt the internal controls policy.
Second.
A motion and second to adopt the internal controls policy. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We have adopted the internal controls policy.
I'm sorry.
All right, now let's go back up. So unfinished business, item B, as well as sanitation trucks. The bid that came in was lacking a couple things that were needed, and so we're presenting that to you now. Vicki, you have that?
Sanitation quote?
Yeah.
Yes. I've sent it to, the council received it too, as well by way of email. The previous quote was for $297,830. The revised quote is for $308,478, for a difference of an increase of $10,648. Did you get to read the, see what the quote included this time? I put it in your emails that I sent to you.
Okay.
It says it's for one new livery. I'm not saying that.
Livery.
Okay. Livery. Expert dual arm helping hand mounted on 2017-18 Freightliner M2106 conventional chassis. But the difference in the quote is $10,648. It says they added.
It's the difference between 6 foot extension and 10 foot extension. And when you're running down alleys on with trash on both sides, you need that extra 4 feet to be able to grab those cans. If not, then you're going to pull up to one side, get that trash can, back up, scoot over to the other side of the alley, go up to the other trash can, pick it up. So it's the difference. Mm-hmm. Between, it's the difference in time. And I think well, the $10,648 will save in time of employee hourly rate.
Right.
I mean, it's to me, it's worth it.
Are we sure this truck will fit down our alleys?
Yeah, we haven't
without
been
without totally
week.
Destroying those alleys.
Yeah, it's shorter too, a little bit.
It turns sharper. It's we had it in last week and we drove it down the alleys.
Is this going to be our primary truck or are we going to use that for backup?
What you're buying is your primary truck, absolutely.
And the old one will be used
for backup. Mm-hmm. And if the city ever moves to recycling, the older truck will be the recycling truck.
Need to talk carefully. meeting about. My only thing was that somebody asked last week if we're going to make any money this year off the profit and loss thing. So we're going to make about $14,000, which isn't a lot of money, but we paid for the truck, $54,000, we got that $1.2. But the main thing I thought we need was that we're $120,000 under the budget. We budgeted $373,586. We're going to spend the date so far as $230,000 plus $240,000. So we're about $130,000 under budget.
Well, I thought that budget was inflated to pay the devil.
But I'm just saying that.
Right. Fuel has decreased. And you are right, Mo. And the dumpsters. Oh my gosh, we budgeted $56,000 for it.
There's so many variables when you do this because, you know, we're going into 2017 starts a new era and, for a new president of the United States, all the way down the line. The gas prices are going to change again. But although Peru, Indiana, they're back online, they're going to start refining fuel again, so they might come back down if national prices go up. So there's so many different variables with this. The bottom line is we got in 5 years ago. We're still in. We still provide a good service to our people.
And the final thing there would be that since we did show a small advantage this year, that included the $54,000 in the truck payment. So if you add in the $48,000 or whatever it was the lease payment was that we agreed to, we're still going to owe money. We're not going to be back in the $416,000 hole.
And the idea is when you're doing all right like that, you put back into the alleys, and we have. We've repaired alleys this year. It's a game. And we'd have to repair, I guess we wouldn't, but if we contracted out, we wouldn't have to worry about alleys, I suppose. So we'll need a motion and a second, if you will, to approve the additional price of the truck.
Make a motion that we approve the additional cost of the sanitation truck. All right.
I'll second that.
It's been motioned and seconded to increase bid of the sanitation truck, the increase of $10,648. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Okay, that's the hard part of it.
Resolution for the, for the additional appropriations.
I must have a board.
No, I didn't put it on, Michael. It's 2016-13.
This is just a resolution?
Yes.
Just one?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I make a motion that we have, is it a reading?
Yep.
I'm reading a resolution 2016-13. You read? By title only. Okay.
Motion and seconded to have resolution 2016-13 read by title only. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Resolution number 2016-13, resolution of the City of Winchester, Indiana, additional appropriation resolution for various funds.
Motion to approve.
Second.
And motion to approve. Motion and seconded to approve the title only resolution, read by title only 2016-13, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Anything else?
Vicki?
Last week, I had the privilege of going to my fourth IACT conference, learning a lot from my fellow mayors around the state and different agencies that come in to speak, including a really interesting topic on crowdfunding put on by the Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority. I was able to share some ideas and learn some ideas about how some projects can be funded using grassroots fundraising. Listen to the statewide results of the Ball State University Bowen Center for Public Affairs survey of Indiana mayors, how the Indiana mayors responded to different questions. The state is moving quickly on quality of life initiatives and 21st century job skills and amenities. So that's exciting. Probably the most fascinating topic I went to, I thought was going to be the most boring one. It was called Bad Friend, how deleting or blocking Facebook posts can cause transparency concerns and legal dilemmas. Bottom line is, a lot of times on Facebook, just stay positive. And if somebody comes on there and starts something, just kind of have to leave it when you're in the public eye. So that was interesting. I had an opportunity to do a lot of networking there. December 15th, I have an appointment with the Randolph County Community Foundation to present this project called Winchester House for Volunteers of America. I have been doing that. I've been taking folks down to Indianapolis to see this project. It's really exciting. Target Realty was in today and gave me their receipt, I guess, and we have paid for now finally the upgrades that were needed, including the carpet and other upgrades. We are now $1,005 up from our rental investment, so we are in the black now after about 5 months, I think, of renting it out. Today, I had also another privilege of sitting with my fellow mayors in Indianapolis again and IAC to have a roundtable discussion with Senator Donnelly. I look forward to having the same kind of roundtable discussion with Senator-elect Young in the future. The three major things that were discussed were broadband, drugs, and not only just enforcement, but rehabilitation and housing. And also, obviously, infrastructure is a hot topic in Indiana. As Brad said, we're going to Mooresville. Brad, Mike, and I are going to Mooresville Friday to the TOA plant for a visit. And last week, I want to remind you, I sent you an email requesting three priorities that you may have for 2017 in the city of Winchester. I still look forward to reading those priorities as I prepare my vision for 2017. And finally, I want to take a minute to recognize Superintendent Frank Lawrence. He asked me not to make a big deal out of it, but Frank is going to retire at the end of the year. And Frank and I, we've become pretty good buddies over this year. And we both agree that if only we had another 10 or 15 years, we could get a lot done, because we sure did get a lot done this year. And I learned a lot from Frank, and Frank probably got a few more gray hairs from me, but he does a great job. So Frank, we wish you the best in retirement. You're going to be missed.
Thank you.
You're going to be missed. The man sitting next to him, Sheen Bosworth, is going to be his replacement. He's going to take over the street department as a street superintendent. I've known Sheen all my life. Sheen's a hard worker, raised just like I was on a farm, and was a dedicated athlete and a student. Sheen has extensive knowledge on mechanics, as he worked on how many acres? 23,000?
I've been on three farms up there. One of the biggest ones was 26,000 acres. Winchester don't have many cows. The last farm we had about 3,000 head of cows. So I stay pretty busy on everything.
Yep. So Sheen's got a lot of energy. He's got a great attitude, and he's ready to get started. So with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Or adjourn. Thank you.
I'm
ever do the sky mark.
Oh, from the judge.
That was ridiculous.
Congratulations.
You want to triple that guy's money?
Yeah, yeah.